Just before we consider the Word of God, we'll ask God's blessing to be upon us. Father in heaven, we come now before your Word, and we are very humbled before you. Lord, we need you to teach us. We need your Holy Spirit to illuminate our minds. I thank you for the attention and the behaviour of the children sitting down the front in a different place. I just pray that you will give them the ability to listen and learn from your Word now, that your Spirit would work in and through us. I pray that you would silence the distractions at this time. Guide me, help me to say the right things, and help me not to preach too long, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You say you prayed not to preach too long. Well, sometimes you need the Lord's help. Hebrews 13, we always need the Lord's help. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, as I look at you kids down the front, can you remember sitting there last year? Some of you can't because you weren't in Sunday school. How about you guys? Do you remember sitting down here last year? Did you know you've changed since then? What? I don't see that. I do. You know, I see some of these fellows up here. I remember teaching John in Sunday school 3 or 4 years ago, and he's very different to what he is now. You guys have changed over the course of the year. You might have got taller. I think most of you have gotten taller. You might have got smarter. Who reckons they've got smarter over the last year? Well, the hands go up. And it's all the boys. No, that Uziel's got a hand up. It really is. The boys have all got their hands up. You've gotten smarter. Maybe you've got more wise. Maybe your teachers have changed. What do you think? Do you think your teachers will have changed over the last year? Yes or no? Or are they just exactly the same? I know Mr. Nicholas might look the same each year, year in, year out, but no. He's changing. I hope we're all becoming more wise. I hope your teachers are becoming more like Christ, because that's what God wants. But the truth is, we've changed. You might have different friends now than you did last year as well. A lot of ways that we can change. But there is one person that does not change, and that's God. That's right, Rachel. That's God. Jesus Christ himself. That verse in Hebrews 13 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday. Now, is that just talking about yesterday? Or is it talking about the days before yesterday as well? Yesterday? Hands up for yesterday. Or hands up for yesterday and the days before. Yeah, thank you. Good. Yesterday means not just yesterday, but also the days before that. So Jesus Christ has always been the same. He's been the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's a wonderful truth. He doesn't change. He's not like us. Not like us. That means he's just as powerful as he has ever been. He's just as loving as he's ever been. That's wonderful truth. It's all right, Lockie. I feel the same, buddy. He is still God, and he will always be God. And that is a blessing to us, and that's what I want us to think about this morning, okay? I want us to see some things that we can find a blessing because Jesus Christ doesn't change. You know, what would it mean if God could change? What if God, if Jesus could lift spiritual weights and become stronger? Could that be possible? Could Jesus get more strong than he already is? Could he get more power by lifting weights? No. That couldn't be true, because if he could get stronger, it means that he's not all-powerful already. These guys over here are looking at me saying, we've learnt this already, Pastor. That was a long time ago. Jesus can't lift weights to become spiritually stronger because he's all-powerful already. Now, he can't be more patient. He can't change to become better or more loving or more merciful or more gracious, because God, Jesus Christ, is perfect in all of these ways already. He can't change. If he was to change, it would mean that he wasn't God, because he wasn't perfect to start off with. So if he changed for the better, that means that he couldn't be God. What if he could change for the worse? What if you could go to God one day, go to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't love you anymore? He doesn't love you as much as he does now. Is that possible? You guys are looking at me blankly. Is it possible? It's not possible. Jesus Christ doesn't change, and that's a wonderful blessing. He can't change for the better, and he can't change for the worst, because change implies imperfection. Big word for the adults, imperfection. And there are a lot of verses in the Bible that confirm this truth for us, but one I'll just quote you is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. That verse says, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? I am the Lord, I change not. What a great truth. Let's look at some areas today, just for a few minutes, areas in which Jesus doesn't change. First of all, in his power. He can't lift weights and become stronger because he's all-powerful already. The Bible says all power is given to him in heaven and in earth. He can do anything. Now, when you think about power, you need to think about two different types of power. You need to think about the might, that's like the muscle to do it, and then the right. Let's give you an illustration so you can understand it. I think I've lost these guys, so I'll start looking over here. The might and the right. Now let's, for instance, I've been in a car with Samuel. Samuel can drive. He has the might to drive. He is able to drive. But does he have the right to drive that car on the road? No, he doesn't have the power to drive. He doesn't have his license yet. But he can drive around that paddock. He is capable. He is able of driving. He has the might, but he doesn't have the right. He has the ability, but he doesn't have the authority yet. Jesus Christ has both. He had the power to create. Do you know Jesus is the creator? The Bible says that by him were all things created. That's Jesus Christ. He was the one who created all things. And that power that Jesus has, the Bible also says, works in us that are saved. Now, we were driving home last night from the youth progressive dinner, and I got to see two flashes of lightning across the hills. Who saw that, those that were driving around? If a lightning bolt, in fact, I'll tell you a very quick story. We won't get too distracted. My mum was cleaning a house. She used to do that. And the house that she was cleaning got hit by lightning. She saw the lightning fork in the kitchen window, hit the microwave, hit the toaster, and all the electrical equipment in the house. And she said the noise threw her to the ground. She was on slate tiles, and she just fell to the ground. It was the biggest noise she'd ever heard. She saw the lightning come in. And she went away from that thinking, wow, that's power. Okay? She's not a Christian, but she thinks, wow, that's power. And you think about the power that is in one lightning strike, and you think, wow. You think about the power in the waves that crash against the beach just on one beach. Have you guys ever been down the beach? Yes. Have you ever stood out there in the waves? You go out too far and mum says, don't go out too far, you get knocked over. How strong are those waves? Do they knock you over? You think about the power of one wave. And then you think about all the oceans throughout all the world and all the power that's caught up in there. And Jesus Christ created all of that. He has great power within him. But that power is in you if you're saved. All power is in us. I'll quote you the verse. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The girls were singing about prayer. Does that not make prayer very valuable? You can go before Jesus Christ and know that he has all power. All power has been given to him, and he's willing to listen. He has the power to create. He can create in you a clean heart and a new heart. He has the power to save. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He has died upon the cross and made it possible for you to be saved. And he has the power to keep you. The Bible talks about Christ as a good shepherd. And as a good shepherd, he leads his sheep through safe pastures, through green pastures, and beside still waters, we read in Psalm 23. The rod and the staff comfort us. The shepherd looks after us. He has the power to create us a new heart. He has the power to save our souls, and he has the power to keep our souls. What wonderful power. And that power is one thing, but that's not enough. Jesus is all-powerful, and you say, yes, I agree with that. But it's also good to know that his promises don't change either. Now, it's one thing to know that God has all the power in all the world and he can create, but it's also another to know that he's promised that he will. That's a wonderful truth to remember, that Jesus Christ can't change and he's made some promises. God has promised that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is a wonderful promise. And the devil will try and play tricks on you, but God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has promised to save those that call upon him. The devil can try and convince you that, no, that's not true. You know, your friends may be used by the devil to convince you that's not true, but God has promised it and he can't change his promise. Not only has he promised to save us, he's promised to keep us. He's protecting us and keeping us in the palm of his hand. That's where we are, in the Father's hand. And no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. How are you going down there, girls? They're singing. That's all right. They're singing hymn book. That's good. He has the power to save us and he has the power to keep us, but he also promised to save us and promised to keep us. And you put the two together and it is a very valuable truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful truth. Not only has he promised to save us and to keep us, but he's also promised to sustain us or help us along the way. God has promised to give us the grace that we need. He's promised to give us a way out of the temptations. He'll provide a way of escape. Everything's under his control. He's going to use all things to working together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Great promises that God has given. You know, he's promised to satisfy us as well. Now this, I want you little ones to listen to. You guys, probably not so much. But you guys down here, you need to listen to this. God has promised to satisfy us. And there are a lot of Christians out there that try and find, you know what satisfy means? No. When you're really, really thirsty. And you come bolting inside to mum and say, mum, I really need a drink. and they're like really, 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 really thirsty, and Mum gets you like cool cordial out of the fridge and gives you this nice tall glass of cordial, and you sit there and you drink that and you're just like, oh, that's so satisfying. Okay, do you know that feeling? Oren, do you know what I'm talking about? Nice. All right, that is what I'm talking about when we're talking about being satisfied. And God is God is the way of satisfaction for the Christian. God wants to satisfy us. But Christians, even old Christians, forget this. And they look to all sorts of other stuff to satisfy them. So instead of going to the Lord to get that, oh, that's so sweet and refreshing and that feels great on my soul, instead of that satisfaction coming from Christ, that satisfaction comes from money or jobs or cars or possessions or fun or whatever it is, things that aren't God. And you guys at a young age need to learn that, okay? Because the world out there is trying to tell you you're only going to be happy and satisfied with everything else. But God says Him. He's going to satisfy us. He's promised to do that. Last thing that doesn't change about God, and this is our last point really quickly, His personality doesn't change. You know, when you go to Mum or Dad, you don't know what kind of Mum or Dad you're going to get. Now, hopefully it's always the loving and the patient and the merciful Mum or Dad. But I know when Chelsea comes to me, sometimes she gets grumpy Dad. You guys ever seen grumpy Dad? You dads are brilliant. They're all like looking at me like, nope, never seen grumpy Dad. Dads are doing a good job. But the truth is, when you go to Dad or Mum, sometimes you don't get patient Mum, merciful Mum. Sometimes you get grumpy Mum or impatient, or even your teachers at school. You don't know who you're going to get because we change. But Jesus never changes. He's never going to be unloving. You can go to Him in prayer and He will love you perfectly. You're not going to turn up at Him and say, I am just over everybody and I've had enough and I don't love you lot anymore. No, God is love. It says it quite plainly. It says it in 1 John. God is love. In fact, the kids were singing about that. The tiny little ones were singing about that this morning. God is love. He loved you before He saved you. Did you know that? Even while you were His enemy, He loved you. Some of you don't get that, but that's all right. You will as you grow up. Before you got saved, God loved you. While you're saved, He loves you, and He's going to love you forever. You are the object of His love. You can't go to Jesus and have Him say, I don't love you anymore. And I hope your mum and dad wouldn't do that either, by the way. Mum and dad should always be loving. But mums and dads, we're trying to be like the Lord, but we're not perfect. But He is. You know, mums and dads, we try and be patient. We try and be merciful and just at the same time and balance all that out. We try and do what's right, and we struggle because we're not perfect. But Jesus is. And every time you go to Him, you're going to get the same thing. His character, His personality doesn't change. And while everything changes, you guys change. While your teachers change. While churches change. While everything changes. Even this building is falling apart. The building's changing. Everything changes. Jesus never does. That's why these boys studying the Scripture and studying God in the Scripture and laying that foundation is so valuable, because that truth will still be the truth if the Lord doesn't return forever. You know what I mean? That's not going to change. The truth about the Scriptures, the truth about God, the truth about us, all of that in Scripture is going to stay the same. Very valuable to be studying. God doesn't change. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says there, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. And as a Christian, that is a wonderful thing to lay hold to. He's going to be the same. You can go to Him in prayer and He will love you, and who have the power and have promised to keep you. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank You that You don't change. We thank You that the Lord Jesus Christ does not change. And we thank You, Father, that You have the power to save us and to keep us and to deliver us through this life. We thank You that You've promised to do just that. Not only do You have the power, but You've promised. And we pray, Father, that we will come boldly before You, that we will come into Your presence knowing who we shall find. It won't be a grumpy God, but a God who loves us dearly and wants to draw us to Himself. We thank You for these truths in Jesus' name. Amen.